You have just entered into God's Diamond Network. This is a podcast that is used for helping God's people find the diamond in themselves and the diamond in your situation. Welcome to God's Diamond in the Rough podcast. They are your hosts, Catherine and Michael. Let's join them in the studio now.
Hello and hello. Welcome back. God's Diamonds in the Rough. We are back one more time. So glad to be before you. We hope all is well. Amen. Thank you so much for being here. If you don't know who we are, I am Catherine.
And I am Michael.
Amen. And we are absolutely ready to get into the Word, get into the topic of conversation today. It's us continuing our conversation about spiritual warfare, and we are all encountering it at some point as a disciple of God. Amen. So before we get into it, let's do, y'all know what we got to do.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, we come to you once again to say thank you. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your loving kindness and tender mercies. Thank you for your word as we live it and stand on it. Pray in the name of Jesus for counseling any assignment of the enemy that will be sent back into the pits of hell where it came from. We ask the Holy Spirit just to have his way. Have your way, God. Jesus Christ, holy and matchless name, we say thank you. Amen. Amen. And amen.
So, last week we talked about spiritual warfare. We talked about how we have attacks on a daily basis. We really focused in on Ephesians 6, particularly talking about the armor of God. And we promised that we would talk about it a little bit deeper before we have two people here, who Josh and Kimberly. They will be coming on in the next 2 weeks or the next 2 days. Talking about their experience with spiritual warfare. Y'all, excuse me. I don't know what's wrong with my words today, but we're gonna keep on moving anyhow. Amen. So we thought we would, you know, kind of prepare you for what is coming. And today we're gonna be talking more directly about this armor of God. First, Michael, how are you doing?
I'm doing very wonderful. Starting my journey of the new me. Those who don't know me or do know me, you know, I used to smoke. I say used to because, and I'm just so happy.
Amen. All right. So, so we left off talking about, again, the armor of God, and we really didn't go into depth, and I believe that we talked about this before, haven't we?
Mm-hmm.
In a previous episode?
Yeah.
Maybe I'll try to get in the show notes or get in the backtrack in the other seasons. Maybe add that one to the show notes. But so the armor of God. Your thoughts first.
You know, my thoughts is something that, you know, when it said the armor, protection. Because, you know, we go up against things, even our everyday worldly views, you know, we have to have protection. Some people look at protection as the last line of defense.
I see the same thing in regard to armor, the whole armor, how we can protect ourselves from the attack that is inevitably will come at you. Saved and unsaved, I think that most of the time we don't recognize, especially those who are unsaved, don't recognize that there is a warfare. But it really speaks clearest and loudest to those who are in the spirit, because the enemy wants to take back territory that really didn't belong to him in the beginning. You know, he wanted to take what, He wants to keep your soul. Let's put that way. Because before you meet Jesus, that's where you're headed anyway. Yeah. And so this is how we can identify as spiritual warfare, because the enemy is continually trying to gain those he had back to him. But in the beginning, you got to know you didn't belong to him. Because of one man's disobedience, the whole world failed. So now out of one man's obedience, those who put their trust and faith in him can.
You know, when you put it like that, it reminds me of a particular scripture that says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. That's letting us know, look, at one point we're dead, but it's a chance to be saved and live.
So when we begin to dig into this passage of scripture and kind of relate it to our everyday, verse 14, he says, stand therefore, and we're in Ephesians 6, by the way. Ephesians 6, verse 14. Says, stand therefore, having your loins girt, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. So the first part of the armor is, he said, your loins is like your sides and the center of your body. He said, have your loins girt with truth. So you have to be centered in truth. So your first line of defense is going to be truth. And you want to kind of define truth? Simply. Like without even thinking about it, we can define it real easy.
No lies.
Absolutely. Amen.
As younger people would say, no cap.
Yeah. Well, that's the way I would define it. It's no lie.
Yeah.
You know, if you are walking in truth, you're standing on truth, you can be true. Yeah, you're living in truth, regardless of the circumstances or whatever. You know that you're staying true to God and yourself. At the end of the day, that's all that matters. Amen. You got to stay centered in truth with God. Now, what happens outside of that, I think that's up to God, because sometimes God allows us to do things that if you are going by the law, you found guilty. But God sees your why, and you might be found not guilty because of your why. So, again, it doesn't justify telling a lie. That doesn't make telling a lie okay. But what I'm saying is that God works all things for your good. And even in the times of Abraham, that's all the way back. Abraham, he lied ever so slightly in regard to his sister. He was like a half sister or something, but she was actually his wife. He lied, his son lied the same way that he did. But at the end of the day, when the truth was found out, they had everything to gain. At the end of the day, God has a reason why he allows you to do things. He has a reason why he allows you to do things and reasons why he allows you not to do things. But the key to it is to stay truthful with him. Add anything?
I would definitely say another example of the truth that he's trying to let us know is in John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He lets us know that through him, it is true.
I thought she was going to say something else. All right, so staying true to God, this is your line of defense. All right, then it says, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. So that's attached to right motives, right intentions. Because in Christ, we gain righteousness. So, in other words, he teaches us how to live right, how to think rightly, how to discern right and wrong. He said, but you got to cover your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Your heart has to be covered in him. Okay? So you can't allow materialistic things. You can't allow people. You can't allow this, that, and the other to have access to your heart. Because we can become self-righteous very easily. And that just basically means I'm righteous based on what I say I'm righteous is. What I identify righteousness is. So what I mean, a good example of that is like, if I go to church and I do, if I go to church every Sunday, then I'm righteous. If I go to Bible study every week and go to church, I'm righteous. If I get in the Bible and I read 1 hour a day, if I memorize 2 verses a day, I go to church on every Sunday and I go to Bible study every time and I'm there. Every time something is going on, I'm righteous. But at the end of the day, did God tell you to do that? And so this is the thing. If God did not tell you to do all of those things, then you are self-righteous. You're being righteous in your own sight because you identified all of these things are necessary that I must do in order to attain my salvation or keep my salvation. And once you're saved, you're saved. Yeah. So you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, I was just looking at the scripture in that you was mentioning about verse 14, about having your loins girded with truth and having the breastplate of righteousness. That reflects on the book of Luke, chapter 12, verse 34 and 35 says, for where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. That means you got to let your light shine in the right way. Because if you let your light go out, what does that tell you?
That is like self-righteousness.
Yeah.
And that's another thing, another key to that, the righteousness piece of it, is the simple fact that, you know, when you are moving, living in the righteousness of God, then that light doesn't go off. That light doesn't turn off because he is the light. Jesus is the light of salvation. So his light never goes off as long as he's shining through you. You know, you got to be intentional about guarding your heart, protecting your heart. So that means you can't, you got to be intentional about what you listen to, mm-hmm. what you put in mm-hmm. your eyesight, mm-hmm. What you allow to come into your being, into your dwelling. You got to be mindful of that. You can't just let everything come in just because it feels good and, you know, or whatever have you. You have to be intentional. Yeah. You want that?
I was going to say, just to add to that, what you said, I've always heard that, you know, your eyes and your ears is the gateway or the keyway to your soul.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like, you know, you watch TV and you could be watching, you know, a good movie and it has, you know, it's a righteous movie. It's all about God. But they had these commercials that pop up that's not. And, you know, one thing I know that I do is I'll mute the commercial and I turn my head away from it because I don't want that getting into me. You know, that's why, you know, it's always key to try to block those things out.
Yeah, it really is. Because one example is like this whole. Seemed like some kind of like spell. Mm-hmm. in regard to homosexuality. Now you see more commercials than you've ever seen. If, you know, they are trying to get you to buy some type of pill or whatever have you, and they have women with women and men with men. And, you know, once upon a time, it was frowned upon to see any kind of intimacy between anybody, whether it be male, female, 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 male, male. The intimacy part of it, you didn't see it. But now, I mean, you got men kissing men and women kissing women and all hugged up and all of that. You know, I mean, it's like the media and the world makes all of that okay. But what does the confinements of the Word of God say it is? You know, that's my thing. What is your standard? Is your standard going to be the Word of God, or is your standard going to be what you think is right, what you think feels good, and all of that? And sadly, you got a whole lot of believers out there that's moving according to how they feel and not upholding the standards of God. You got to protect your heart, because the world will make everything and anything okay. They'll make right and wrong, make wrong right. Absolutely, 100%. Else?
Yeah, I was going to read something on that, because this has to be mentioned, because, and we've mentioned about this before, I believe, on previous episodes, but it's coming out of 2 Timothy chapter 3, and this lets us know that it's the things you're just saying is relevant to the word, because he tells us that this is going to happen. And this is in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 13. And I'll just read it just a little bit. It says, verse 1 says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemer, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, haughty, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but defying the power thereof, such turn away." He's letting us know that, look, there's going to be times that now it's coming to light. It was already there in before, but now it's more being shown than it should be.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
What is God's Diamond Network? This network stems from the Ministry of Exposed Life Change Ministry. There are teachings with Learn to Live in Truth, preaching, and so much more. A diamond shines in the light, all colors, with clarity and uniqueness. This is an open invitation to you. You can support our brand here with a gift of any amount. Every cent goes back into the ministry and brand. Now, back to the podcast.
It's, you know, it's not that we're not knocking anybody who is any of those things, because our responsibility as brothers and sisters in Christ is to love. Mm-hmm. Love all people, whether they're saved or not, is to love. Not to condemn, not to do any of that. It's just the point of is that in regard to the armor of God, you have to be able to recognize right and wrong. Mm-hmm. This is why he says, you know, the first thing you got to do is be centered in truth. Because if you're not centered in truth, how can you protect your heart? How can you, when you've allowed a lie to remain present in you? You know, you cannot have one without the other. So if you're going to live in truth and be centered in truth, you also have to protect your heart, because there's a lot of things in this world that's coming through a a worldly view, and even a spiritual view that's coming in and saying, oh, this is God or this is not God. And if you don't have a relationship with him, how will you know? You know what I mean? A relationship is necessary. The word of God teaches me that you got to put on Christ. You have to put it on, just as this armor. This is a part of putting on Christ. And this is how. Because people will ask, well, how do I do that? Well, here's the answer. He said, you got to stay centered in truth. Mm-hmm. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. You got to identify right and wrong. Mm-hmm. You know? No, you're not judging. See, most people, they'll say, oh, y'all judging this, and y'all judging that. No, we're identifying right and wrong. Mm-hmm. This is what you're doing. And see, the world will say, because you identify right and wrong, that you're judging them. But the devil is a liar. You got to be strong enough in your relationship with God to know what you're doing and not allow the world to tell you what you're doing. Amen. This is why you got to let the Lord lead, guide, and order your steps by his word. Mm-hmm. I believe that's in Proverbs 37. I think that's where that is. But I'm sure off the top of my head, but pretty sure that's where it's at in that chapter. Allow him to lead, guide, and order your steps. Amen. All right. So go ahead.
And I was going to say, you know, when you put on the full armor of God, that lets you know that I have an intentional about staying focused on the truth.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And then he said, and this is verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And, you know, you got to be, you know, and all of these are like, they're all pieced together to make one armor, like a suit. Your feet, you have to be about peace. You know, you see people doing this, doing that, and the other. You don't, because you know God, run around beating people over the head. That doesn't keep peace. That creates chaos. That's what that does. It creates hot chaos. Keep your peace. You see injustice. You see wrong. There's a time to speak, but there's also a time to be quiet. You got to be in that relationship with God that will tell you when to speak and when to be quiet. Do you understand what I'm saying? It is absolutely a necessary thing that you be in communication with the Spirit, because the enemy is going to, what he say? He said, look, that wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. So he says, look, it's going to come. Okay? It's going to come, but all of the whole armor of God speaks intention. That's what it speaks, intention. So when you get up and you get ready to go out and meet the day and do whatever, even before your feet hit the floor, you got a mind that says, I'm going to keep my peace today. Mm-hmm. No matter what kind of tries to shake it, move it, shift it. Keep your peace. Sometimes you got to be direct and say what needs to be said. You still keep your peace. Sometimes you got to be quiet and not say a word and keep your peace. When you ain't saying nothing, when you ain't doing nothing, and it's coming at you, you're not coming to it, you got to say, I'm keeping my peace today, devil. The devil is a liar. Come mm-hmm. on. The gospel of peace.
Mm-hmm. That means you gotta walk in it. Like even, and it's easier said than done, and I will be the first to admit it. It's mm-hmm. easier said to be done than to, you know, go out somewhere and somebody doing all this wrong to you, and you see that they're doing wrong to you. You got to keep it quiet. You got to just keep it moving and kill them with kindness. And it's easier said than done.
Absolutely.
It's easier said than done. And I'll be, mm-hmm. like I said, I'll be the first to admit it. Mm-hmm. It's nothing like going to a job and somebody do you wrong, and the first thing you want to do is act in your flesh and cuss them out. You can't do that.
And then, okay, just because time space, we're going to run on through, y'all, because we're trying to keep it at 30 minutes. So he says, above all, take it. He says, so I never caught this, but I just caught it. He says, above all. So out of the three we've already mentioned, he says, it's even more important that you taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So he says, it's even more vital that you have your shield of faith. That as you're going forth and you're walking and you're, you know, you're living, you're breathing, you're doing this, that, and the other, that when attack comes at you, you have something to dodge it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You got to have your faith. Your faith is above all, as he says, more important than almost anything, any of this armor. He said, above all, the shield of faith. He says, and take the helmet of salvation. Protect your head.
Mm-hmm.
Who are you standing for? Who are you living for? Because you can say that with your mouth, but the proof of the pudding is what you are doing. Who are you standing for? Because the enemy don't care nothing about you shouting. He don't care nothing about you praying. He don't care nothing about you singing, ushering, preaching, all of that stuff if it's not changing your life. You could do all of that stuff and it not change your life. And you could do all of those things and you not be serving God. Okay? You heard me? Hallelujah. Look, if it begins to change your mind and it begins to keep you from going, it keeps you from going further into darkness and more into the light, the enemy is going to try to attack you. He's going to do things. He's going to say things to you to try to bring you back into darkness. This is why your faith has to not be in yourself, but be in Christ. Because he said, I will give you wings. When you're waiting on God, that's one of the hardest things to do is to wait on him. He said, I'm going to give you wings to bring you up high. He, look. He said, there's no temptation that he won't give you a way of escape. You understand what I'm saying? This is why your faith is important, because the enemy is going to come. He's going to come. Don't think that because you're saved that he's not going to come. He's going to come even harder. He is, because he don't want to let you go. And he's going to do everything to manipulate, steal, kill, and destroy to try to get you back over there on his side. To make you believe that you're a failure. Make you believe that you're not good enough. Make you believe that you'll never be able to quit. You will never be approved by people. They ain't gonna never forgive you. Saying things like that to make you come back and to doubt God. At the end of the day, to make you doubt the power of God. Oh man, wow. Michael, you want to add something?
Yeah, and I was just looking at that scripture says, and above all, taking the shield of faith, that wherewith you be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked, and the helmet of salvation. And you think about it, okay? So basically, he's saying this: look, he wants you to put the whole armor of God on, but if you don't have your loins girded about the truth, and you're not walking in the gospel of peace, it's okay, because as long as you got that shield of faith. And your helmet of salvation, there's hope.
Mm-hmm.
He said, yeah. You don't necessarily have to walk into peace. Walk in peace to have peace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. But to walk in peace is a fruit of peace.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. To walk in peace, if you got peace, then you are there to be something that is birthed. You ought to be able to walk it. You ought to be able to live it. You ought to be able to talk it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So he says, not only the faith is important, but he says your salvation, the helmet. That's another thing that I see when I see that helmet of salvation. It's protecting your mind. Romans 12:2 teaches us about being transformed by the renewing of our mind.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Look, you got to renew your mind. You got to put something else in so that you can begin. So you get the old will no longer prevail. Because it doesn't mean that everything that you knew before you got saved disappears. But your way of thinking changes. And the only way that can happen is if you put something new in. You can't change your mind if you don't put anything new in. And so your helmet of salvation, the fruit of your of the salvation, your helmet of salvation, the fruit of that is a transformation in how you're thinking. So you got to be mindful about putting the word in your mind. Because a whole lot of times you don't got to say a word as long as you're putting a word in. Because people are going to see it. They're going to see it in how well you keep your peace. They're going to see it in how you move in your faith. They're going to see it in how you protect your heart. They're going to see it in the fact that they can trust your word, that your word is your bond.
And, you know, and I like a saying I used to hear, you know, especially when you stop doing something of the world and you're doing it for the right intention for God, he says to fill the void. If you take something that you used to do, it's empty. But you got to put something new in. That's why we need to get into the word more to fill that empty void.
And then it says, we got to hurry up, honey. But it says, and the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit. That is your weapon. It said, which is the word of God. Okay? Not only are you putting it in, but you are walking with your sword. You got your sword in your belt. Amen. You're ready to use your word when it is necessary. Because the enemy is going to attack you. You got to know how to fight back. And it only comes through the word of God. Mm-hmm. And that attack is going to come on your character. That attack is going to come in your integrity. The attack is going to come in your joy. The attack is going to come in testing. The attack is going to come within the things that are inside of you. Inside of you. And you got to learn how to pray. Not only do you need the word, but he said praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all saints. Look, you got to learn how to pray. You need to be able to talk to God at any point in time during your day, knowing that he's going to provide all that you need and all the above. Go ahead.
And I was just looking at verse 18 when you were saying that, you know, he says, don't just put it on and sit idle. Put that armor into use. Mm-hmm. You got to put the work behind it. Don't just sit there with the armor and just stay idle. That's right. Go out there and use it. That's right. Because if you just keep it and don't use it, what good is it you doing?
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah. And, you know, I think it's powerful, too, because in that next verse, Paul says, he says, within me, because I've put on the armor of God, he said, he's given me the boldness to be able to speak the mysteries of the gospel. Mm-hmm. When you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, he's going to give you the boldness it takes in order to stand for the gospel, to be a mouthpiece for the gospel. Amen. He's going to give you all of that, but you got to be intentional about serving him. I mean, really, you have to. And knowing that this thing ain't easy. Spiritual warfare is a real thing. And you're going to hear some testaments of where, you know, physically there have been attack on people who are serving God with everything that they got. And the enemy is just basically trying to scare the life out of them. He's trying to stop what they are doing that God doesn't get the glory. Amen. But you got to be bound and determined to do it the way God says do it every time. Amen. You got to be bound and determined. Hallelujah. That's my final word. Bound and determined.
My final word is just like I said before, don't sit there idle. Mm-hmm. Put it to work.
That's right.
Put it to work and watch the change unfold.
Hallelujah. All right, y'all, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your grace and your mercy. Thank you, God, for allowing us this day another opportunity to get into your word. You gave us the opportunity to be able to talk about spiritual warfare another day. And I pray, God, that as we teach and we preach and we talk about it, that we would also be prepared for it. Because we realize, amen, when you've called us to do mighty and wondrous works in this world, that the attack is just as great. And I just pray, God, that we would have a mind to do it the way that you say do it. I pray, God, that even when the attack comes, that our faith would be enough, as your word teaches us. I pray a special prayer for those who are undertaking things that in that flesh seem hard and difficult. I pray, God, that they would take your yoke and learn of you, that you would take that burden, you would take the weight, God, and that they would be set free in you. Pray for every diamond that is here, whatever they might be going through. We thank you, God, for allowing us to overcome the attack in advance. God, we thank you so much. We bless your name and we bless your people. We pray this prayer in the mighty and matchless name of Jesus Christ. We do pray. Amen. Amen.
All right, diamonds, y'all know what time it is. But guess what, though? I'm going to switch it up a little bit. Until next time, say it with me. Until next time, I am a diamond in the rough.
Amen. See you next week.
Thank you for joining us for this week's episode. Please sow into the ministry by clicking the support the show link. Until the next episode, may the blessings and the prosperity of the Lord follow you. And remember, you are a diamond in the rough.